Well, I got to the end of the road, burning bridges wherever I go. But I promise you this, I am getting my kicks. So fuck you, this is my bucket list. Well, I got sick of living life, counting down to get from that far.
Hey, everybody. I'm back. I'm sorry. I went away for 2 weeks and didn't give you a podcast. But I'm back. I do love doing this podcast. Sometimes I'm lazy and I don't get a guest, and sometimes it's hard to get a guest. So here we are this week. We do have a guest, and this was a really, really fun episode. It was a really fun episode. Your guest this week is a really cool human being. He has done a lot of different things in his life. He's been a pro wrestler, stand-up comedian. He is an incredible artist, and he's just like one of the greatest people. And he's got so many interesting stories and a cool perspective. So his name is Travis Waters, and he is out of Vancouver, and he's a really good friend of mine. And it was just a great conversation to have. We sat on my deck and in the sun, and it was nice because last night I had a house party, which was really fun. House parties are like, you want to have them, but then you're having them and you're like, what have I done? And then when they're over, you're like, no, that was worth it. We got one noise complaint, which totally valid. It was at midnight. Everyone was on my back deck being super loud. But then everybody moved in. And at one point I looked and I'm like, you couldn't move in my house anywhere. There were that many people here. And I was like, okay, I hope nobody punches a hole in the wall. But I hang out with good people, so none of them did that. It was really fun. And it was cool to see. Like, I'm not in any cliquey things in the comedy community. I'm not in a clique. I'm pretty a lone wolfy, I feel. Like, I have friends in the community and I hung out with them, but I kind of just hang out with everybody. So it was cool to see a bunch of people that may not always hang out together. And it was really fun. Really good time. House parties are great. Even when you're broke. I was broke. I didn't have anything to give people, but they brought stuff and it was great. We had a good time. Now what else? Oh yeah, some very exciting news. So I'm going to move on in the top comic, SiriusXM top comic contest. I got through, I had a set that was, it made me want to puke because I've done this contest 2 years before. So 2 years before, first of the 2 years, I bombed so hard it was painful and bawled my eyes out. And I'm sorry, like, I'm not a non-crier. I think you guys know that. And it was the worst. And I hate it when you cry at a contest. I've been talking this with other, mostly female comics. There's not a lot of guy comics that, or guys that want to claim that they cry, even though they do. But contests, I always cry at contests. If I don't get through, if I don't win, if I win. I was almost in tears when they announced that I had made, I was one of the three that moved through. And it's so ridiculous because it has nothing to do with, like, you're pouting and you're upset. Contests just, like, stress you out. They build up all this, like, stress in you. And then when you're done, it's like, oh, that felt so good. So then I proceeded to just, like, as soon as I got off stage, I'm like, I need to have some drinks. And then I just got super drunk in a good way. It wasn't a bad way. It was all good. I got to see Amanda Brooke Perrin again. I haven't seen her in a really long time. And, yeah, it was a cool experience. So now I'm going to be really annoying and I'm going to be begging for votes online, but I could win $25,000, so you better believe I'm going to be trying to win this. I'm not going to be one of those comics that's going to be like, well, I don't want to look like an asshole. I want to look like an asshole. I want $25,000. I am so broke right now because my booking agency gave me 3 gigs this summer. So I'm walking dogs. I'm doing other stuff. My dad is giving me a minivan. I'm so excited. When I get that, I'm going to start walking dogs. I'm going to see if I can do some other things just to make some fucking money this summer. And I'm not the only one. There's, like, so many comics with no work this summer from a company that should be giving us work. I'm going to get in trouble for this, but God damn it. this sucks. Not knowing if you're going to have any money ever. One day I'll have so much money. Actually, it's funny because we do talk about this on the podcast. We talk about if money can bring you happiness. It would help. It would make me happy. But I am actually really happy, even though I'm broke. So weird. I remember when I was like, I had money in my bank and I was so depressed. And now I have no money in my bank, but I have like so much love around me. That's what matters. See, 2 week break, you get a cry. 2 week break, and I gotta give you guys what you want, a cry. Cry on my podcast. So yeah, I'm gonna need everybody's help for this top comic thing. You're gonna have to vote every day, but all you gotta do is click a link and click a yes for me. It is so easy. And it's a good break. I need a break. Let's be honest. It's been hard to stay in this when you're not working because you feel like, oh, I'm not working because I'm not funny. And then you have a couple bad sets and then you're like, oh, I'm definitely not funny. And then you have a good set and you get to go through the contest and you feel better. It's such an emotional roller coaster. It's so weird. And I have kittens, though. That's another thing. I have kittens, you guys. I'm fostering kittens. I wanted to volunteer somewhere, but I don't want to, like, hand out drinks at a race or, you know, I want to do something that would be good for my mental health. And so I'm fostering kittens, and it's been the most incredible, wonderful thing. I'm learning a lot, and it's nice having kittens around when you need a kitten. A lot of people are like, are you going to be able to give them away? I'm like, already ready to give these ones away and get a new batch. Like, I found the secret. This is how you have kittens all the time. You foster them. And Eugene loves them. He's so funny. He wants to play with them so bad, but he's very gentle and he knows that he can't. And he's very curious about them. And it's the cutest thing in the world. If you don't know who Eugene is my dog. He's my special little weirdo dog who got offered a modeling job, which was pretty funny. And he's done 2 shows with me now. So I think he's going to be able to come on the road and be part of the show eventually. If I ever get to that level of diva, Eugene will be everywhere with me. It'll be fine. What shows do I have coming up? Nothing. No, I have a show. Actually, I'm on a show tomorrow night at the Blarney Stone in Vancouver. It's an unreal show. It's for cancer research. All of the proceeds are going to cancer research. And Alex Sparling put it together. He's the guy that I left on my deck to tell you guys how he lost his eye. That's Alex Sparling, and he will be hosting it. Kevin Banner's on that show. Sunny Dollywall is on that show. And why can't I think of the third person that's on that show? It's an incredible lineup. Where is it? Give me a second. Where is that freaking poster? It's such a good show. Find it, Kathleen. This is really bad radio. You should be more prepared. Ow! My dog's biting me. He likes to just like get on my arm and bite my arm, and I don't appreciate it. And he knows. Yeah, now he's moving the microphone. Hey, Mama's got to do something for free. You're wrecking her free podcast. Where is that fucking thing? Anyway, there's someone else on this show that's incredible. Me, Sunny, Kevin, and I think Ivan Decker. Is Ivan Decker? Ivan Decker, I think. It's a great show. At the Blarney Stone. Tuesday, June, whatever. What's Tuesday after when this came out? Tomorrow's going to be the 12th. So Tuesday, June 13th. And that was UAG just jumping on my stomach. Anyway, that one is coming up. I have a show in Revelstoke coming up. I have nothing much. I'm hosting Tinder Tales in Victoria and Nanaimo in July. And yeah, if you want to hire me for your summer party, I'll do it. Tell me where, tell me when. We'll work it out. Just pay me. This has been the most desperate intro I've ever done. You guys are awesome. Thank you for always listening. Thank you for sticking by me. It does mean a lot. And I do love doing this podcast. So let me know what you think. And subscribe and give me a good rating on Apple and Stitcher if you can do that. And everywhere else, just tell people about me and my podcast. You guys are awesome. Have a great week and enjoy this episode with the amazing Travis Waters.
Shutting down, good lord. Baby got them open all over town. Strictly bitch, she don't play around. Cover much ground, got game by the town.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you get so attached to your animals. I mean, they're family.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
I mean, these are your kids. I can't believe this. You know, we've got cats, dogs, and I love animals. I'm just thankful it's not a drug sniffing dog. Then we'd have trouble. But I've seen a few of those at airports.
You look so cute holding a kitten.
Oh, I love animals. They're just so cute. You had a shindig last night and everybody yeah. fell in love with the cats.
Yeah. I was worried because I'm like, the mama's a little nervous. But, and there's Laika, the dog. See, I went from having no pets to I've got Eugene, and then Laika is my landlord's dog, who's always here. And now I have a cat and three kittens. But it was really nice to have those kittens because I had them off in their own quiet little room, and then I'd let a couple people in as long as they weren't completely out of their minds.
Yeah, well, and then they were just a hit.
And then when everybody left, it was so funny. I went to go in to check on the kittens, and Ross Douk was in there with his girlfriend playing with them in the dark. Yeah, and
Ross Douk. Wow, that is cute.
So cute. I think that like animals bring out the good in people, even when people say they don't like animals.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and animals, you know, when animals don't like people, you got to be suspect.
Yes.
You got to be suspect of those people, you know, because animals have a great intuition. How can you not love animals?
Yeah.
You know, they're such amazing creatures.
But I've heard people say, I hate cats. How do you hate cats?
Well, then you're just a miserable person.
Yeah.
You're a miserable person.
Look at that.
You're like, hey, how you doing today? Well, all right, I guess. You know, you never guess what happened to me, this and that. And then they phoned. It's like, yeah, whatever.
And the cats are taking
you know,
over.
Fuck. I mean, come on.
What are you
the sun's
about?
Out. The Here, birds are chirping.
A
it's a good day.
It's a beautiful day.
You know, and I mean, speaking of which, geez, I mean, last night when I came in here and I couldn't believe it. I was like ready to burst into that song. Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. I mean, you know. Forget about Kathleen McGee is a hot mess. Kathleen McGee is a responsible adult. You
well,
know, I hate to ruin your reputation.
I don't know if I'm fully. I'm barely holding on here. But this is like, I am proud of this place. And I do love it here. And I have like, I've lived here now for 2 years. I've lived in Vancouver for 3 as of this June. Kate, cat. And then I've lived in here for 2 years. As of March, and it's just like I went 10 years without having a home, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you were a rolling stone. Wherever you laid your hat was your home.
I never thought that was going to happen to me, but I was like not homeless, but I didn't have my own home for about 4 or 5 years. Like, even I wouldn't even call LA, I didn't really have a home because it was like a bachelor apartment with another comic.
Yeah, yeah. No, so, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's a place to sleep, but, you know, would you call it a home? Not so much.
Yeah, no. So it was just like, so this and having like a real kitchen and like a real,
is the real McCoy. I mean, this, you know, I couldn't believe it. Like I said, you know, our house is a very fine house.
We might have more parties. Not that big, though. That one got really big.
Well,
really
that
fast.
Was like high school, you know, when you say, hey, I'm thinking about having some people over. And then Julie tells Steve, and Steve tells Wanda. Before you know it, the whole high school's here. But it was great to see all the comics. I mean, I love getting together. Good people.
It was good.
Really good people.
I know we're only 4 minutes in, but I got to pause this and put this kitten away because he's going crazy. Hold on one second. Okay, we're back. No kitten. The kitten went back to the room.
We might have fallen off track, but we're back, and that's a fact, Jack. It's a good old Elsie here with the always lovely McGee.
Can you please introduce yourself to people? You are the LC, but explain the LC.
Well, the LC, I was a pro wrestler, and I actually still, every once in a blue moon, step into the ring, maybe once or twice a year.
Throw Kevin Banner, former guest Kevin Banner's head. I think we talked about that. You threw his head through a wall.
Well, I did. It's funny. Kevin Banner and I have a past. He was in the wrestling business about 18 years ago as a manager, and I was doing color commentary on a broadcast in Portland, Oregon. It was a wrestling show. And he was walking out with a wrestler named Juggernaut, 400 pounds. I was on color commentary, and I said, here he comes, the near 400-pound Juggernaut. And alongside him, the near 400-pound, I don't know who the hell he is, right? And so we laughed about that. Kevin Banner was an acquaintance when I broke into comedy. And so we laughed about that, and it was funny. And about a year later, they were doing this show called Ring a Ding Dong Dandy.
Him and Graham Clark.
So they approached me and said, you know, wouldn't it be funny if it was kind of a cross promotion thing, and we were doing the comedy show, and you burst in as a pro wrestler, and we arranged this little, you know, brouhaha, and you know, it would go over well. I said, all right. So I met with them, and we went over this little thing we were going to do. But you see, I'm kind of old school. And like when Hulk Hogan filmed Rocky III, right, he put three stuntmen in the hospital, right?
What?
And he did, because it's called protecting the business. People say, oh, the wrestling's fake, isn't it? Well, be careful what you say. Choreographed, I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. But fake, how can you fake a body slam? You know?
Yeah, I think fake is definitely the wrong word.
Yeah, you don't pick someone up giving them suplex and call that fake. That's really my back hitting the ground.
And you're not falling onto a bed of pillows.
No, it's not a bed of feathers. It's plywood. I'm telling you.
I got to stand in one of those rings once and feel it, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like, it is, yeah, you don't go home and you're like, God, I feel refreshed. That was so easy to fake that.
No, that's the thing, right?
You're not a woman in the bedroom, you know. It's not easy to fake it.
No kidding, you know.
How did you get into wrestling?
Well, I've always been a wrestling fanatic. Like when I was a kid, Hulkamania ran wild.
Yeah.
Andre the Giant. Ooh, yeah. Get that spray bottle out. You don't like that, do you, Pooch?
Like,
you know, Jake the Snake Roberts, the Honky Tonk Man. I was a wrestling fanatic then. Still was, right? Well, still am. I don't follow it like I used to today. But when I was in my early 20s, I was out here. I came out to BC in 94.
From where?
From New Brunswick.
Oh, wow.
From the Maritimes.
Oh, you're from the Maritimes.
Maritime boy, yeah. Which I miss. I love the Maritimes. Friendly people.
Yeah.
So I saw a poster for a wrestling show, and Tito Santana was there, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Doink the Clown, Maniac Matt Bourne. I said, geez, I went down and bought my ticket, and I went to the show. And back then, I had shoulder-length hair, you know, probably 25 more pounds of muscle, you know, kind of pharmaceutically enhanced, if you will, you know. And so I kind of looked the part, and somebody asked me, they said, hey, son, are you a wrestler? I said, well, actually, I'm not. I'm just here as a fan. They said, well, you ever thought of being? I said, well, yeah, ever since I was 6 years old. I said, well, I'll introduce you to the promoter, right? He was one of the ring crew. So we did, and we talked, and that summer I started training, right? And I didn't realize how real it was until I started training.
Yeah.
And back then, you know, this was the 90s. They beat the shit out of you. The old thing was they take a deposit. You go to your wrestling school. They take a deposit. They kick the living shit out of you and see if you come back, you know. Well, if I hadn't told my friends, hey, I'm training to become a professional wrestler, trust me, I would have been long gone to the Yukon, because they beat the shit out of me, right? Get concussed, fucking fell. Oh, my God. I've
You know, have you talked in like wrestler rhymes since a child, as you were a child? Like, did you come out of the, what did you say when you came out of the womb?
Here I am, daddy, slap my ass, doc. No, you know,
but, totally believe that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. But yeah, from a young age, I tried to emulate some of my favorite wrestlers. Sweet Daddy Siki, you know, Rotten Ron Star, Mr. Ooh La La, Goldie Rogers, you know.
Yeah.
And so from the time I was 12, 13, I was always trying to cut promos, always practicing wrestling moves. I broke so many beds giving people suplexes and stuff like that.
But your parents loved you.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. I caught a lot of shit from my friends' parents. But so I started wrestling, and I stuck with it. And so to get back to it, yeah, it's old school. So us old school guys, and trust me, the guys before me in the 80s and the 70s especially,
yeah,
if you said wrestling was fake, well, you're going to get your ass kicked. You're going to fight your way out of the bar. So we protect the business. And for people that aren't in the business, you know, if they want to get involved, well, they're going to know they were involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I met with Graham Clark and Ryan Beal and Kevin Banner, and we choreographed the thing. Said, all right, well, you come in and burst in. And Kevin Banner said, I'll get up and, in protest, and I'll come forward. What do you say? You know, hit me in the chest with a chop, maybe, and I'll go and take the big fall. I said, hey, that sounds great. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you're going to fall all right, because you're fixing to get your fucking ass kicked. That's what's going to happen. Because one thing I don't want is I don't want them to say afterwards, oh, it was great. They did this funny little wrestling thing in the end. Oh, it was cute and it was funny. No, I wanted people to sit there with their fucking mouths open and say, Jesus Christ, what just happened?
Yeah.
What the fuck was that? That wasn't fake. Jesus Christ. He just got his ass kicked. And he did. So rather than do the little chop like you said, he get up and he came in like a house on fire like he said he was going to. I kicked him in the stomach hard. I grabbed, you know, I heard the old boom.
Oh,
I kicked
God.
Him. Boom. The wind left his body. I said, okay, good. We're off to a good start. And I grabbed him by the head and I drifted it right through two sheets of fucking, you know, drywall.
I know.
It was one sheet of drywall, and then behind it, it was the old school, like the lattice, you know, that they don't make anymore. And I'll tell you, he drifted right through both of them. And I'm telling you, you could have heard a pin drop. People were like, oh, my God, you know, what just happened?
Yeah.
And I walked out of the joint, and I tell you, afterwards, people were still, well, Abdul Aziz, who's a comedian, was there with his girlfriend, who happened to be an MD. She was a doctor, and she ran right over and said, my God, are you okay? Should we call an ambulance? People back up, give him some room. Just keep laying there. She checked his neck. And I mean, he'll live to fight another day. But yeah, he was, you know.
People will not forget that.
He was looking for his love. Look, we're still talking about it today.
Do you know?
Because of that.
That's very true.
You know what I mean? If it was this cute little do-si-do, he went down and I moonwalked him and said, oh, that was cute.
Yeah.
It would have been left right there. They wouldn't even have talked about it after the show.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, he got lit up like he did.
It's going to be talked about forever.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
I think is that what makes a good wrestler, or somebody that will be memorable?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be over the top. You got to be yourself with the, like, Travis Waters is actually kind of shy.
Yeah.
Especially around women. I'm not. The ladies' choice, quite the reverse, Daddy. You and me, we're going to go fall in love for 6 hours in my $1,500 night suite, Daddy.
Do you think that you did that to become that person?
Definitely. No question.
Because you couldn't do it as yourself.
As myself, forget it.
Do you wanna
know? Gosh, golly, gee.
I feel the same way, though, about myself, like, on stage. Because, like, in real life, I'm not shy, but I'm not, like,
And
I wouldn't just go up to a guy and say, like, eat my pussy or something.
Right.
On stage, I'll be like, you can eat my pussy. And then they come up to me after and they're like, oh, and I'm like, it's just a thing.
I know. People expect you to be like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I wish sometimes that comedians could have, but I don't want to be like a Larry the Cable Guy different person, but yeah, it's a different persona.
Oh, yeah, no question about
it. That must be a
cool thing. Oh, no question. And that's why I do miss it, and I try and stay as involved as I can, because, you know, where else can you go out and tell people you're going to steal their wife, steal their girlfriend?
Yeah.
You know, you can't go to the bank and do that. Yeah, you know, you've got their emotions right in your hand, and, you know, there's still people that just get so mad and wound up. So, yeah, I miss that. And comedy is kind of a natural progression because I can still shoot my mouth off.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to take the steel chairs over my head and stuff like that, which I don't miss. But, you know, with the going back to the Kevin Banner thing, you know, the fact that it was a spur of the moment. Yes, I lit him up. And then
did
after,
he know you were going to do that to him?
No, okay. Absolutely not. No, he didn't.
Is he okay?
I wanted
Are
to
you
keep
guys
it
friends
real.
Now?
As a matter of fact, you know, funny enough, afterwards, you know, there was some tension. You're like, you know, fuck, man. You know, I've got a lump the size of an egg on my fucking head. You know, I'm, Christ, my eyeballs are sore. Like, fuck, man. I can barely move. And hey, you know, welcome to professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Right? And, but as time went on and I said, hey, Banner, you know, we had the people. It had to be, oh, yeah, you're right. And then in the end, I was having a wrestling match with Ravenous Randy Myers, and the angle was Banner was going to come in.
Oh, nice.
And get his comeuppance and hit me.
Yeah.
And give me a clothesline. And I said, hey, lay it in there, brother. And he did. He laid it in there. And I think he's got it on video somewhere. It's yeah. In the archives. And he's a big guy, and he was coming like a fucking train, and boom, he hit me, and bang, down I went, and it looked good. As a matter of fact, Sid Sylum, who's been in the business 10 years, when Banner came to the back, I remember him saying, brother, that was the best clothesline I've ever seen someone throw that wasn't a wrestler. I said, oh, thanks, and Banner did a great job.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, the tension got less and less, and then a couple of months ago, I saw him at a wrestling show because he's good friends with another wrestler, Dr. Luther, Lenny St. Clair. And we met up there, and then we had the big hug and the big handshake and drank a beer together. Now, I'm good friends with Kevin Banner.
Yeah.
I've been over to his house watching wrestling. We watched a pay-per-view together.
Oh, cute.
We're good buddies.
That
so,
makes me happy.
So, yeah, and he loves wrestling, and I love wrestling. So it had to happen, but it all works out in the end.
But I think that with wrestling, like, it's you have to make it, you have to be hurt a little bit to make it look real.
Oh, my God. I mean, there's a reason that wrestlers are dying at 50.
Concussions.
And the problem is it hurts so bad. It's the nagging injuries. You do it night after night.
Yeah.
So you got arthritis in your back, arthritis in your knees. Your neck is to the point where you can't move it side to side. You have to turn your whole torso.
Yeah.
Right? But then, hey, you got to wrestle tonight. If you don't wrestle, you don't make money, huh? Well, you're right. Well, I guess I better take a couple Vicodin.
Yeah.
Right? I guess I better take a couple Percocet. Hey, does anyone have anything? Oh, you got, you know, Somas? Try one of those. And after a while, you know, that shit kills you.
So, yeah, like, is this, like, the movie The Wrestlers, like, very accurate? Or
I've seen that in real life about 1,000 times.
Yeah.
You know, unbelievable. I mean, and it happens. I mean, it's
sad.
It is, but you know, wrestlers, for some reason, you know, if you make $1,000, you spend $1,200. You know,
yeah,
it's the rock and roll lifestyle.
I think I think anything to do with like entertainment and stuff like that. Because I've been thinking a lot recently about aging in a business where it's better to be young to get noticed.
Yeah.
And especially, and I mean, some people might disagree with me, but I find that it's really hard for a woman to age in like Hollywood and also in comedy because suddenly I'm not just doing jokes about how it's fun to blow guys. Now I'm talking about real shit that has happened to me. And when the male comics start talking about real shit, that's when they start coming into their own.
Yeah,
but when female comics, this is how I feel. It's not the way it is, but I feel that sometimes if I start talking about coming into my own and shit that I've had to deal with, it's kind of like, oh, where's the girl that talks about blowjobs? What happened to her?
Gotcha.
And it's kind of like, well, I do want to evolve.
Well, yes, exactly. Yeah.
And like with this back to the wrestling point, I find that it's like, I guess aging in wrestling is twofold because A, you're aging. B, you're aging poorly because of drugs or because of all the stuff you've put your body through.
Yeah.
I mean, seeing some aging comics can get really sad and depressing because there's people who give up but still want to keep fighting but give up on the writing part. And so they can't get gigs and they don't understand why because in the 90s they were huge. But it is like you do have to prepare for your old age. Like you don't think about that when you're having fun doing the comedy.
Oh, my God.
And then you just turn around and you're like, okay, I'm the oldest person in this room. I don't relate to anything the young comics are saying, and now I have to change my entire game just to stay in it.
Oh, it's crazy. No, it happens just like that. And with especially with wrestling, there's no plan B.
No.
These guys have been wrestling forever, and they don't have a plan B. They're not really employable. Yeah. I mean, the plan B is find a woman with a job. Really.
I mean, that's a comedian's plan.
That's it, you know, and there's an old adage. I guess you could say comedian, too, but what do you call a wrestler without a girlfriend? Homeless, right?
Yes.
Because, I mean, you know, and it's sad but true.
Though. It is. And I think it's something that, like, this is why I think podcasts are good and stuff, because people are being more honest about what it really is to be, like, in an industry where people think it's you're living a great life, like, they don't understand. Yeah, you might go get $1,000, but again, then you have to. Then you go out and you party to be fun. And
well, yeah, because people think they want you to be that person. Hey, can I buy you a drink? Fuck, you were funny. I've done that too. You know, I tell you, Jesus, my girlfriend does that all the time.
Yeah,
they want you to be that fun person. So of course, and then after a few, well, geez, now I got to take this to offset this. Well, now I got to sleep. I better take a couple of these. And it's an up and down, and Jesus, it's a vicious cycle.
It really is. Like, I don't think, like, sometimes people will comment, oh, you get paid that much money for doing 45 minutes of work. I'm like, no, I fucking do not get paid that much money for doing 45 minutes of work. I get paid to travel there. I get paid to write. I get paid to party with people after and wake up with a hangover and catch up flight. And I know that doesn't sound like...
It's your soul.
But it is a
it's your soul.
Comedy is a job 24/7.
Oh my
and
God!
Like
you're always talking. You're thinking about it. You're always evolving in your head. You know, that's like
it's a fun job though. I'm not
gonna say
it
is,
it's not
and
fun.
That's why I'm you know like driving. I'm never paying attention because I'm always off in la la land thinking, oh, is there any what's funny or what's a new promo or I'm never concentrating on what I should be. I'm always off. Thinking about other stuff, and as comedians, that's what you do. I mean, so you can't, or it's like wrestling too. Geez, you made that. You're only in there for 15 minutes.
Yeah,
but I've been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah,
so don't talk about 15 minutes. You know, Jesus Christ, I've left a piece of me in that ring.
Exactly.
You know,
you leave a piece of yourself on stage.
Oh my God, yeah. So don't talk about 45 minutes. Yeah, talk about the fucking 10 plus years I've been working and fucking my ass off and digging.
And the adrenaline that you go through when you're performing, whether it's good or bad adrenaline, like if you have a great match or if you have a great set, you're through the roof for the rest of the night and you can't get to sleep. Or if you have a bad set, can you bomb at wrestling? Can you have a bomb?
Yes, you can.
What is a bomb for a
wrestler? Well, where just things don't click and you don't have the people. Like when you say, hey, you know, what do you think of me now? And the people are supposed to be going, boo, you suck. And it's, it's fucking crickets. You're like, oh, fuck. And you just don't have the people.
Yeah.
And it falls flat.
Yeah.
You know, and it happens.
Is it better to be a villain or a good guy in wrestling?
It's so much better to be the villain.
Yeah.
You love, I was always the villain. A few times I was the good guy if the guy that I was wrestling was so big and so ugly that people just hated him anyway.
Yeah.
And I'd come out and stomp my feet. Because really, as the baby face, as they call it in wrestling, or the good guy, all you can do is rely on the bad guy to have the fans hate him.
Yeah.
And then because of that, they just want to see you kick his ass.
Yeah.
So you just have to say, you know, slap everybody's hand, raise your arms, stomp your feet, say, you know, you want to see me kick his ass? Yeah. It's up to the bad guy to come out and say, you know, I've been here, you know, for one night.
Yeah.
And all you pot-bellied beer swillers are sitting on the couch paying more attention to the remote control than you and your woman. And they've been crying on my shoulder. I haven't got a wink of sleep, calling me every minute, saying, LC, let me come to your hotel, brother, and find out what a real man is, you know. And they're like, you, so now I've got the people so riled up.
Yeah.
When they announce my opponent, people already love him.
Yeah.
They're just like, kick his ass, kick his ass.
So if people hate you, then you've done your
job
right.
You have done your job.
And what does that feel like, though?
It feels so good.
It feels good to have people hate you.
LC sucks. Because that's your character, right? I'm going to steal your woman. Well, Jesus, someone comes along and steals your woman, you don't like that guy.
Yeah.
The fucker stole my woman.
Yeah.
And when the lady's choice comes in and says, let me tell you something, Jack, you know, I'm the man with the plan and the golden tan. You can't satisfy your woman, but the lady's choice can, right? they get riled up. They want to see me get my fucking lights punched out, yeah. right? So I really miss that, but it's a young man's game. I realize yeah. at 46 that I can't do things I did when I was 26, and that's just science. That's just the way it is.
I guess, I mean, it's not even just in the entertainment industry. It's in any industry. This new punk comes along, and and that's the thing is, like, I mean, if you've been doing something for 20 years, like you've been a doctor for 20 years, and then some kid comes out of med school, but they're not the same level of experience, but now they've come in with new knowledge that maybe you might not.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And I think, like, I find that with comedians, too, is, like, there's many, many comedians that can stick around until they're very old and continue to have thriving careers. But I think and those comedians are the ones that that don't look at the new people as threats. That yeah. look at it as, like, you can teach me, I can teach you. But also, I have to keep my game strong because look who's coming behind me.
Oh, true.
I mean, when you don't do that, that's when you get into sad territory.
Oh, jeez. Because, I mean, there's wrestlers coming up now that are doing things that we didn't even think. We didn't even realize were possible. You know, and these new
What's
kids are coming
What's an example
up,
of that?
Oh, some of these guys that are jumping off the top rope and flipping twice and
wow.
stuff and all some of these high-risk moves where, you know, they do a flip and then land into another move like an RKO. I'm like, what the hell?
And there's a lot more women getting into wrestling now, too.
Yes, yes.
And they're not just the girlfriend on the side. They're not just the
You know what? No, they're not. And women wrestlers are very, very impressive now. And I've wrestled with some very, very impressive women. And like you say, they're not coming out and doing pillow fights and panties anymore.
Yeah.
It's wrestling, and they're damn good, you know, and some of the athleticism. Is unbelievable. So there's quite a strong women's division now in the WWE, even around here
yeah.
in this territory. There's great female wrestlers.
I know a girl who does burlesque, but she just started wrestling a little bit. Her name is Calamity Kate.
Calamity Kate, okay, yes, yeah, yes. And I've actually dabbled in some burlesque because we did a little bit of a cross promotion
yeah.
where they did burlesque dance in between wrestling matches.
Yeah.
So they got me and another wrestler, El Fantasmo, to come in, and I thought we'd just be come in and do a little trot and get out. But my God, no, it was serious business. And man, I mean, you know, talk about going into a different world. It's like her coming to wrestling. She realized right away, holy shit.
Yeah.
And God love her. She's trained hard and she's worked hard and she's damn good. But she realized, like everyone else did, fuck, this hurts.
Yeah.
This is a lot more real than people think. But so was burlesque. I mean, these dance moves, it's like when you see Dancing with the Stars, I say, man, this is difficult.
Yeah.
Fuck, it was. I mean, some of these moves and getting up and catching the girls and throwing them over and then getting into a pose. It's like, Jesus, we rehearsed. And
you were like
I was
Patrick
sore
Swayze.
As hell. I was, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did
I
you
was
rehearse
dirty
in a
dancing.
Lake?
Well, yeah, no, not quite that authentic. Yeah, Patrick Swayze, God, he was great. Dalton, remember?
Yeah.
Roadhouse,
yes.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Patrick Swayze, oh, he was a dream come
oh.
true.
Oh, he was. It's a shame he died so young because he had a lot of good years left.
He had
left.
So much in him.
Yeah.
Going back to women in wrestling, when you started wrestling, were there women and what were their role in the wrestling?
Very few. Like you said, you know, valets, mm-hmm. right? They had valets. And I had a valet
yeah.
that could come out and... You know, at the very most, they might stay on the sideline and throw powder in the face. But their job was basically to prance around and
look
good in a slinky dress, mm-hmm. you know. But, of course, as it evolved, then, you know, women got more into it. Because even back in the day, there was, you know, the Fabulous Moolah.
Who's that?
And Mae Young. She was a female wrestler from, like, the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And she was just a, you know, kind of this... You know, rough woman, you know, tattoos, tobacco
yeah.
chewing. But now, you know, the women are, you know, really feminine, really athletic, really good, hard-hitting style. It's quite impressive to watch. So
yeah.
I love women's wrestling. It's good. Yeah.
It's totally, it is cool to see it evolving into something more than just like.
Yeah, because that gets old fast,
yeah.
you know, with the pillow fighting and the bra and panties matches. And
although
stuff.
To pillow fighting, I will say, when I lived in Toronto, they had a pillow fighting league, and it was like they had rules. They had, and it was like it wasn't Like, you could wear whatever you wanted, but by the time they were finished, they looked crazy because they had their hair everywhere. Oh. It was like, I went to one training thing, and I'm like, I can't do this.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I mean, I'm glad to see it coming back because I wondered if pillow fighting had kind of fallen by the wayside.
Yeah.
Because I remember as a kid, pillow fighting steady.
Oh,
if you
yeah.
had a sleepover at someone's pillow house, fighting pillow steady. Fight to the death. I mean, people, oh, wind knocked out of them. Okay, perfect. Boom, over the top of the head. Like, holy fuck, I'm seeing stars. Well, all right then, time out.
Yeah.
You know, like, this was serious shit, pillow fighting. You could really, you know, you could hurt people. But I don't know if it's a dying breed. You know, we didn't have the Xboxes and the PlayStations and all.
You know,
that.
You mean physical activity?
Yeah, Jesus Christ, no kidding, eh? Holy fuck, it's unbelievable.
It is pretty crazy today. Like, I.
Well, speaking of it, you know, it's funny. I was talking with a comedian last night. This Tinder, you know, like, and I was saying to Ed Conyers, well, in my day, you actually had to shine up. Put your good knickers on and go to the club and try and talk to women. And you know,
that's the thing is, I feel like, I mean, I don't like to call them all pussies, but I think we're raising a bunch of men and women that aren't going to be able to interact in public.
Oh.
It was so rare that any guy would ever come up to me and talk to me. My boyfriend was at the Front Rover show and he came up and talked to me and I'm like, what are you? This is so weird.
Yeah.
And it works. I'm telling you guys, especially these days when it doesn't happen. I don't know, maybe it doesn't work for people in their 20s, but if you're in your 30s, women want to be talked to.
Yeah, they don't just want to swipe right. Yeah, hey, baby, what are you thinking? No, and that's the thing. I mean, some guys try and be, you know, guys are so dumb. I mean, and I'm a guy.
It's a hormone thing.
And we're just, we don't quite have it, you know? I mean, women are superior to everything, you know? So, I mean,
you're right.
we're still doing the fucking, we're still doing the cat call.
Yeah.
That's all we've got. That's how stupid we are. We're still doing this dumb shit.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tough to approach women. We don't know what to say.
It is tough. And I'm like, and you'll always get the, well, you guys call us creepy if we come up and talk to you. I'm like, well, look at how you're talking to somebody.
Oh,
maybe
Jesus.
It might be creepy.
Yeah, you think?
Like, I've had guys like come, like say it was nice to meet you, and then rub the side of my face like they think that.
Yeah, there's fucking.
I'm like, what?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, and it's tough, you know. And in their defense, they think they're being charming.
Yeah.
You know? And unfortunately, sometimes when guys drink, they become more charming to themselves.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, girls have a lot. They have a lot of the blame is on them as well, because, you know, you can't just write off every guy as a creep. You can't just be waiting for this Adonis that's 6'5" and like,
no, that's right.
You have to actually get to know people. You can't just immediately write them off. And I feel like a lot of women immediately write guys off.
Well, that's it. 99% of us give the other 1% a bad name, right?
Yeah.
Most of us, most of the guys may be creeps, but there's a few out there that aren't.
They're not so bad. Some of them aren't so bad.
But no, it's funny. Kids are so coddled. I worry. I mean, you know, we were just kind of left alone.
I don't think the new kids are. I think the kids that are in their 20s, those are the ones that got it the worst for this, because those were the first wave of don't let them touch this, antibacterial this, everything in this.
Jesus.
You can't do that. Don't let them eat this. Don't let them eat that. Like, they were the first wave. And so now you're just.
Yeah.
Have these people that don't know how to live for themselves.
No, I mean, when I was, nobody was allergic to peanuts. Nobody.
Yeah, that was a whole.
It didn't exist. Allergic to peanuts. Now, the big signs, don't bring peanuts, you know.
Anywhere, yeah.
It's because, you know, kids aren't eating mud pies anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they're not rolling around in the fucking mud, you know. Go outside, eat dirt, drink out of the pond, you know. You're immune to all that shit. Don't worry about peanuts. Fuck that. You know, it's the least of your worries. But I don't know. It was a different time. You know, we were street smart. We went out there. We lived. And I know kids, they can't boil water. They can't cook for themselves.
It's really scary. I feel like there's a new generation now, because people like us are becoming parents, where we want to try and make our kid more independent.
Well, that's
not
it.
Not helicopter parenting. Oh, it's my terrifying. God.
No, because eventually, just like the, you know, the mother bird, it kind of kicks the baby bird out of the nest. Okay, it's time to fly on your own.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, Jesus, these kids have never lost at anything. They always got a ribbon for participating. They've never. Well, guess what, kid? Life can haul off and punch you square in the fucking face.
Yeah.
And it will.
And if you don't have the skills to deal with it, you're going to be you're going to just, it'll destroy you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Mommy, what happened? Well, fuck. Life just fucking punched you in the mouth. Now get up, dust yourself off, and fucking get back on the horse. Keep riding, kid. You know?
I think you should start like a school for children. Oh, and you should be in charge of raising them.
Well, I mean, you know, you just have to be real about it. You know,
I look at my friend who has three children, and she's very real about it. She's very honest about how hard it is.
Oh.
And she's very honest about, sometimes I just have to take my kids to McDonald's because I'm exhausted and I don't want to do it. And I think that parenting has become so, everyone has been paying attention to everyone else's parenting skills instead of looking at their own. So, because she's told me it's so much pressure to be a parent because you feel like you're judged everywhere you go.
Oh, well, you are.
By people who don't have kids, by people who do have kids.
And everybody's on the concerned parents group now.
Yeah.
Like back when I was in school, your parents never came to the school. Yeah. And if they did, it was because fucking you're about to get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
Right? Your mom was there and saying, yeah, kick his ass. Give him the strap. Fuck this little bastard. He acted up.
Yeah.
Right? But not now. How dare you fail my child? You know? And I mean, it's just done an about face. I wouldn't want to be a teacher now.
Do you want to have kids?
No.
No.
And you know, it's funny. People say, well, you're so good with kids. I say, yeah, that's because I don't have kids.
I think that's the same.
And I love kids because when I see them, look, whatever they want to do, crawl into the cardboard box, do the whatever, I'm there.
Put their hand down the carburetor.
Yeah, that's right. I'm like, I'm totally, they've got my 100% complete, undivided attention. When you're a parent, well, the novelty wears off fast. You know, you're like, 24/7, that kid's yours. Well, no, not for me. As soon as the kid shits himself, I'm out of there.
Yeah.
As soon as he starts crying, sayonara. So I get the best of the best.
Yeah.
Wind them up and then see you later.
And people act like it's not a choice to be childless. People think that you're crazy. I mean, it's getting a lot better, but like, but like if my friends complain about their kids and they're like, when are you going to have kids? I'm like, I just sat here and listened to you bitch about how horrible it is.
Yeah.
That's like you like saying, smell this. It smells like puke. And I take a big whiff. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you, do you want some cologne of this? Well, no, you know, like you just showed me it smelled like shit. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And I mean, you know, I always say I don't have kids, but I do get nervous when my phone rings on Father's Day.
Do you think you have a little lady's choice out there anywhere? Is that a possibility?
It's a possibility, but I don't think so. I'm sure they would have tracked me down by now.
Yeah, and you're the kind of person that would have been like, fuck off.
No, I mean, geez, how could you? You know, I'd look and say, oh, God damn it, that kid looks just like me. Yeah. I wouldn't even go on Maury and high five and do backflips.
And I wouldn't even ask.
And then the woman runs off the stage crying. Test another couple of wrestlers, see if they're the father.
Oh, my God. Do you tour with wrestling? Like
I used to be on the road 200 nights a year.
Oh my God! So you've toured with comedy and you've toured with wrestling. What are the differences between the two of those things?
They're very, very, very similar.
Yeah.
And I love the camaraderie. Like you know, as comics too, we have camaraderie between us. So when you're on the road, you know you're friends with these people. It's a good time. You're having a good time. I mean, you got to get up and do your thing and make people laugh. But when you're there, you know, you're riffing with each other and telling jokes, making fun of each other. It's fun.
Yeah.
And that's what I miss, the camaraderie of the voice. You know, you're in a van with all the wrestlers for 400 miles.
Yeah. And, comics is just usually one, maybe another person. But and it's really a lot if you're, for me, when I headline and I travel, it's me.
Yeah.
And then I meet the comics at the cities.
Yeah.
But
and, I mean, as wrestlers, we used to travel in packs, too, because it never failed. You go to some of these towns, Golden, Alberta, you know, and the guys want to fight.
Yeah.
You know, some of the girls want to fuck, and most of the guys want to fight. And they're always, you know, they say, are you one of the wrestlers? Yes, I am. You mean that fake shit?
Of course.
Here we go. Yeah. Right? And there's always some fucking drunk that wants to fight.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a pain. Because I know guys that fight for a living. Like, you know, that's what they do. They have trainers and they go into an octagon with a referee and they fight and they get paid. They are the most soft-spoken. They are the last person that would go to a bar and pick a fight,
start a fight
in the parking lot. Like, you know, why?
But isn't a lot
for
of
no money? I mean,
isn't a lot of like martial arts and stuff like that? Isn't it about self-restraint and
big time.
And meditation?
Oh, huge! I mean, like, if they did get into a bar fight, they'd have someone to answer to. They're, you know, the guy that trained them would say, "What the fuck do you think you're doing?"
Do you, did you see that video of that woman that got kicked out of the comedy club and then like lost her shit?
I did too.
That cop. How he was like, as soon as he started doing it, I'm like, wow, that's like, this guy is doing, he's going in his head and being like, okay, this is what I have to do. I have to now roll my neck and de-stress. Because I'm going to punch this bitch in the face.
Oh, Christ. And, you know, I like to see that because mostly what you see in these, you know, look at this police video is someone getting the shit beat out of them.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time watching that. And I find, you know, why are cops still beating the shit out of people? They know they're on camera.
Yeah.
They still do it. But then sometimes you see a guy like that that's... And that's what I think cops should be. The most patient.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just like that guy. You call them down. Well, yes, sir, sorry.
Yeah.
And violence, the last resort. If someone's going to... You know, attacking you, defend yourself. But other than that, don't come in with clubs going and tasers ringing. And fucking, you know?
I don't know what it's like to be trained as a cop. I don't know how much psychological training you get. But I think you should get a lot. And if it's not happening, I think it should start happening more. Because
oh, no question. I feel these people should be like counselors. And listen to people and know, okay, this person's disturbed. I think they've got this. Not fucking tunk, tunk, tunk on the head and ask questions later. And train on who can do the most push-ups, you know? Jesus.
There's a show on Netflix called Under Arrest. It's like, do you remember To Serve and Protect?
Oh, Jesus so Christ,
yes. I think it is actually To Serve and Protect, but they've edited it better. And it's and so it's filmed in like New West and Langley, Vancouver, Edmonton, and Winnipeg. And like, there's a lot in Edmonton. And but it is an interesting show to watch because, first of all, there are some hilarious.
Oh,
like,
my God. It makes you feel good about yourself. Like, you know what? Yeah. Gavin Matt says, I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
I'm doing okay.
There's some sad ones.
Oh, Jesus.
But there's also some really good police psychology happening. And there are some, instances where they're actually like, you know, if it's a drunk person and they kind of like go along with their crazy story and humor them a little. I'm like, this is what people need to see cops doing. They don't need to see them shooting and murdering people that have no business being murdered.
With the big vests and the tanks and the things and smash the windows. No.
Policemen, since like they've been around, well, at least in, you mean, you know, the 50s policeman, the man that you could go up to him for anything and he would...
And ask him, advice.
Yeah.
You know,
and now people are afraid of cops and that's the problem.
No, that's not good.
And that's the problem. That's something that they have to work on. It's just like, I mean, like, they've lost the respect of a lot of people.
Oh, big time.
Not cops, all cops, but just in general, the profession.
Absolutely.
It's
no
not
question.
An easy profession. You have to see the worst shit every day.
Oh, no, it's true. And then so domestic disputes.
But they need support. They need psychological support. And I don't think they, I don't know. I'm just speaking my opinion, but.
Me too. And I don't think they get it. I think the whole police training should be completely revamped.
Yeah.
Take the. You know, the importance of push-ups and physicality and, you know, I can handle myself to, you know, I'm an even temperament. I don't get riled up.
Yeah.
I'm willing to listen. I can sense when somebody's troubled. I can talk them down.
Yeah.
I can de-escalate. You know, when they showed up at the airport, Christ, they boom, 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 tasers, boom, the guy's dead. Hold it. Why didn't you just talk to him? Say, can anyone speak this language first of all? Like, you know.
Yeah.
Human compassion. That's all we're asking for here, you know. Jesus.
It is. It is
anyone
human
can go
compassion.
In there and wrap heads. Fuck. So I hope it gets off that because, Jesus, that's all we've been seeing. But, it's, you know, so I like to see when police use a level head because people can be assholes. That's part of the job. Hey, I want somebody that's not going to lose their temper over someone spitting or they're going to be level. I'd say, you know, sir.
Being level-headed is, I think, something that I've been trying to be more. And I think it's something that everybody needs to start doing more. My bus driver yesterday was amazing. I meant to write them about it because I was just like in awe of how well he handled every situation, and just like, because driving a bus in Vancouver can be really rough. There's a lot, they let homeless people ride for free, but like I've been on them when they're people. I saw someone shoot up on a bus. Like it's like there's stuff that happens. But this guy was great. Like he was just like patient. And that's another thing, is that people have to be more patient these days.
Oh, Jesus.
Patient with people and just talk to people and smile. And, you know, just being a pleasant person is going to make your day better and everyone around you.
Oh, I don't understand. People are so miserable, you know. And I was just in Thailand. I was there for 3 weeks. And the people there literally have nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're living in shacks, you know, without plumbing. And the smiles on their faces from ear to ear. They have nothing. And the kids are helping out with the business, you know. And I think, geez, you come back here where people have everything.
Yeah.
And they're just fucking miserable
because
as can be.
Because they have to work so hard to have everything.
Well, yeah. And it's like, you know, they just have a sense of entitlement. Rather than a sense of gratitude, we just say, wow. Like,
yeah.
God, listen, the birds are chirping. Like, we're sitting here. You've got your dog on your lap. Like, life is fucking wonderful.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
And I think having a lot of animals around has made me realize how great life is.
Because, I mean, yeah, you can always dwell on, oh, well, fuck the, you know, my phone bill. And then, well, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
We've all got that. You know, the collections phone. Fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, take two fuck it alls and realize how precious life is. It can change just like that, you know. So the fuck, we got our health. The sun is out.
Yeah.
The flowers are in bloom. Holy fuck, this is amazing.
Do you know what's so
funny?
People
don't look that way, you know?
Adam and I went to go and get a loan. And
because
I wanted to get a car.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to try and consolidate some debt so that we can get our head above water.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went in and I knew that they were going to say no to me. And Adam was like, I don't think, because he had some credit issues. So we both went in and we're going in and we're both like, this isn't going to happen. So let's just prepare ourselves now for a no.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I'm just telling you, I'm going to cry either way because I'm an emotional person. So we get in and the girl's like, yeah, no. And so I cried. And then she goes, but you don't have cancer.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was the funniest thing to say, but it's also true. Like,
well, yeah, and
your
with
debt
loans,
is dead,
I mean,
but you're not dying. No, and you're not.
So
I have a roof over my
you
head.
Look around, and that's the thing. Like, the things that people are taking for granted, people would give anything to be doing. You know.
Yeah, and that's too with comedy, because I get really down about where I am and how I'm barely working this summer, and it makes me feel, well, if I'm not working, then people don't find me funny anymore, so I'm not funny anymore. But now, like, it's just, I don't know, it's just like this. Just let things go.
Oh, well, you have to, because that's the way life is, you know, and shit happens. And sometimes you get, you know, booted down, just get back up, you know. Sometimes, you know, life's a shit sandwich sometimes. But if you have enough bread, you don't taste the shit.
I love you. Can you write a book of quotes?
That's not true, because, money doesn't mean anything.
Oh, my God, you're so funny.
As long as you have enough and a roof, and we're all...
Although I would like to try to see how bad money is. Everyone talks about how terrible it is to have it.
That's true.
I've never really had it. So.
Well, no. But, you know, you see, like, remember Christina Onassis, the richest woman in the world, you know, was so miserable.
Yeah.
Never found happiness. And because that's...
You can't trust people around you when you're...
Well, yeah. You know, and it's leaning. It really doesn't bring you happiness. You know, it's,
yeah.
And that's true. That's the truth. And people with money will tell you that. The things that bring you out are your friends, your family, your life, your loved ones. You know, John Lennon was right. You know, all you need is love.
The drunkest. I'm drunkest right now. I'm not drunk right now. But I'm definitely the poorest, but happiest I've been in a really long time, because I have a really great man, because I have this dog, and I'm still doing what I want to do.
And see, that's
barely, but I'm doing.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. And when you can be true to yourself and practice your art and I mean, live a good life. And yeah, that doesn't mean the collections aren't calling. Fuck it.
Yeah.
That's fine. But you're right. Life is good, because those are the things that matter.
Yeah.
You know, having good friends, you know, a guy you love, a lovely, you know, place to be.
Yeah.
You know, a good space. Animals that love you.
Yeah.
You love them, you know. So life is simple when you look at it that way, and you realize, you know, the things that really do matter, and you don't get caught up in, oh, Jesus, no, I got to get more hours. I got to get more money. I got to do that.
Yeah.
Then you lose sight of the fact how.
And you lose your friends and family. Oh, and you can't have a dog because you're never home.
No. Well, this is it. You know, like. So, yeah. So it's nice to be able to, you know, be true to yourself. I mean, imagine schlepping off to a job that you really do hate, you know. Yeah. Crying yourself to sleep Sunday night because, you know, Monday morning you got to be at work.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why you see miserable people. They're driving 2 hours to a job they hate and then 2 hours home to a family they hate.
Yeah. You know, it's like, it doesn't appreciate all the work that they're doing.
Well, that's it. It's like, well, I think fine, you know, but I didn't want mustard on it. It's like, holy fuck, hold it here now.
Yeah. Chill out.
Yeah. So I'm just, you know, I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah. And you're also an artist, which is so funny because this is how I found out you were an artist. I didn't know you were so talented either. Like, I knew you were talented at wrestling and comedy, but I went with my stepmom and my dad. So my stepmom is, she was adopted.
Yes.
And her half-sister from her birth mother.
Right.
They lived in Surrey.
In South Surrey,
and they're best friends with you.
That's right. His husband, her husband.
Yeah.
Carol Ann is her name. Her husband is a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
He was Rocket Randy Tyler.
Yeah.
And we've been friends for 20 years.
Yeah. And we went to their house because we all went out for dinner and they had this gorgeous house. I think they moved to the island now though, didn't they?
They have their,
But they had this amazing house and we were doing the tour.
Yeah, because he left wrestling and became a lawyer.
Okay, so now
yeah, now he has money.
Now he has money. Yeah. So it was a beautiful house, but then I was like looking around and they had like all of this art. And I'm like, it all looked kind of the same. I'm like, your art is amazing. And then he's like, oh, my friend Travis paints that. He's also, he's a comedian. I'm like, what? Travis Waters? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, what? Because it's not like, it's really, you're a very talented painter.
Oh,
and then
you.
Last night you gave me, I posted them. I'm just like, I can't. It's one of the greatest gifts I've ever received. Like,
well,
just
I'm
a picture
like
of me
that.
And Adam and Eugene.
Yes.
That's such a cool thing. I think one of the things I always wanted to be able to paint.
Yeah, well, my whole family are artists. I have a grandmother still alive. She's 99 and still dabbles in paint and such. Yeah, and my aunts. I have a cousin that works for Disney as an animator.
Oh, my God.
So it's something, and when you paint, I mean, it's a great escape.
What do you paint with?
Oil. I found oil paints, but I like the depth and the contrast and the you know, the layers you can use, so I'm partial to oil because I use a spatula. I don't paint with brushes.
Yeah,
you know, so it's a great.
Is that thing where you like squish it down?
That's
and
correct.
And
yeah,
you painted those with a spatula?
Yes, yeah.
Oh,
I do
my
the
God.
Outline and then So it's great, and I get lost in paintings. It's something that I just have to do. It's
probably,
you know,
an
it's
amazing meditation.
Oh,
or...
It is. And you get into it, and then you're just totally in the moment, and hours can go by, and you're just like, wow. But, you know, you're so into it. So I was, a couple of years ago, really into portraits. And I actually have, I'm going to be doing a show at the Kino where I've done portraits of different comedians. And so that's why I added Adam and Eugene to the mix.
Oh, my God. It was
and gave
just,
this to you because I knew it would be a good, a nice addition to the happy
it
home.
It was unbelievable. And yeah. I love art. I'm just poor. I can't afford art. I have lots of artists that I'm in awe of, but I can't afford their paintings right now.
And I go into art galleries and I say, oh, boy, I like this one. And I go up, $8,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now can I get out of here before the lady comes up and says, can I help you, sir?
Yeah.
You know, but it's too bad. But every once in a while you find something affordable.
Yeah. And it is cool to find art that speaks to you because it is like, it's like comedy. Like you might love a painting and I might think it looks terrible.
Yeah.
But
everybody sees something different.
Yeah.
You know, art is wonderful and paintings last forever. I can never understand when you go into someone's place and their walls are bare.
Yeah.
I think, what?
I know my walls are bare right now, but it's only because I don't have anything.
But
I want
still
stuff all over.
On the wall, you know.
Your stuff's up now.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah, that's great. That's
what's your favorite painting that you've ever done?
Oh, God, it's tough to say. You know, I like big stuff. Like, I just did a piece that was like 10 feet long and 8 feet wide, and that was cool to do. You know, I work on it for weeks and stuff. So I like big, and that's what originally got me into oil and big canvases. So I like to work with like canvases that are 5 feet by 3 feet and stuff. Because as a fan, that's my taste. I like, if you come into my place, you'd see big canvases, you know, 5-6 feet wide, stuff like that. Because that's what I like. So that's what I try and do. But, you know, and I try and switch things up and work with different mediums and stuff. It's just something I always enjoy doing. You know, when I'm at my studio, it's my happy place.
Is your studio at your house, or do you have
It's down in on Powell Street.
You're like a full-on artist
Vancouver,
that I didn't even know at all.
Yeah, I've been down there. I've had a studio down there for 10 years.
Oh, my God.
And it's like a co-op. We've got someone does pottery. We've got a sculptor down there. We've got... So it's great.
How much would it cost for me to make a piece of art with you?
Oh,
like I want you to show me some stuff.
That's the beauty of it. I mean, you get yourself a canvas. Yeah, I'll bring all my paints and hey.
I want to do this. I want to make something for my house.
Mean, as J-Lo would say, yeah, like we could really, and it's fun, you know. I mean, they have those paint and sips or whatever where you drink wine and they tell you what to do, you know. But I like where you just go and hey. That's your canvas. And do what you want to do. Wherever you want to splash that paint, a line here or there, and you know, and you stand back and say, no, maybe a little more here. Maybe just a touch of red there. You know, I think that's done. And I like it. You know, it's the colors. It goes with my duvet. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's a real escape. So, you know, art's a wonderful thing.
Oh, we have to do this. I definitely want to.
I mean, it's like sex. It's fun even if you're no good at it.
Yeah, right? It's true. Because I guess I always thought like art is like you have to be able to people like look at it and know exactly what it is. I can't draw worse shit. Like if you ask me to draw a person's face, I'd be like, what are you doing?
Well, and then you don't necessarily have to be, you know, a great sketch artist. You know, you could. I mean, Jackson Pollock did drip paintings where his paint turned into things, and there's some great abstract artists, and you know, so it's
Do you have any favorite artists, like classical or even just like
I always
Vancouver?
Loved. As a stoner, I always loved Salvador Dali, you know, because you can look at his stuff and just get lost in it for days. But there's some local. There's so much, you know. It's a lot like. Comedy or any art, really, especially in Vancouver and BC, there's so many talented artists that you see and think, my God. Or I guess it's like Nashville. There's 1,000 talented pickers. You know, so many people are great guitar players, but you've only heard of a few. But there's so much talent. That's what I find when I go to art shows here. I think, my God, these people are amazing. You know, and maybe they'll get famous once they kick the bucket. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, it's fickle, but... It's like comedy. Everyone's in an artist because that's what they love. You know, it's not.
That's why it's so sad that we lost Hot or Wet City, which was such a fucking amazing gallery in this town that supported comedy so and supported comedians coming up with interesting show ideas.
Well, that's it. No, it's too bad. But when you lose the arts, but it's unfortunate. Because, you know, the bills come in. You got to pay the lights. You got to pay the heat.
Yeah.
And. It just, you know, it's too bad.
Well, I guess an art, I mean, it's like comedy. Like, I make a living, but it's not, it's very sporadic. And it's like, I guess as an artist, you like, maybe you might sell a big painting and then go 6 months and not sell one. And that's terrifying.
Oh,
like,
it's feast or famine. But, you know, you always got to remind yourself, we made it this far.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah.
You know, drinking a ginger ale.
You should be a life coach. You should be.
With the dog. How good is this? My God, we've made it.
I love it.
This is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you just keep looking at that big picture, you realize things always work out in the end, you know? And if it hasn't worked out, it's not the end.
Yeah. I agree. We should do our comedy art show.
Yeah, that would be cool. You know,
where everyone just does one painting.
That would be fun. Yeah, I'm not a very good promoter though, and I'm not.
Yeah, but you don't have. There's so many people. Susie Rossum is one of the best promoters in this fucking city. She's helping me put together a show idea, and I'm sure we could do something. I think it'd be really fun just to do like a comedy art show. And
oh no, it'd be fun.
Get like 6 or 7 comedians to just paint something.
Anything. Just get the paint flowing and fucking see what you come up with. You know? And it's amazing. It's a, you know, you'll find that it's very therapeutic.
Yeah, I want to meet up one day. We'll go. We'll make a painting because I've always wanted to do it. I just get like dirty. Messy.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. It sounds delightful. I'm in.
It would be so much fun.
I'm in.
It would be so much fun. Do you have any shows coming up or
anything exciting? Yeah. I've got
art show.
That'll be at Kino. I don't know exactly when.
Okay.
We're working, but it's going to be soon because Steve Allen's got the paintings now, and it's going to be a two-parter because I had enough that I could do a two-parter. So
yeah,
and it's fun, and the proceeds will go to the Innocence Project, Steve's charity that he likes to give to there, which is a great charity, and he's like the godfather of comedy around here. I mean, God, talk about a labor of love.
He's another
person.
He
does that. There you go. He loves it.
Yeah.
He loves
shows. We would have lost
such
an amazing venue
if he had
not stepped up and bought it.
God. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's just so sweet and so supportive of comics. And even he's like a cat to me. He can sense when I'm feeling shitty.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's always got an encouraging thing to say to me. He's just like an angel.
You know, it's funny, and I didn't know this about him, but he used to be a cop, apparently.
What?
Yeah, that's
he
what
was
I've
on
been
the
told.
X-Files too.
yes. He's an actor. He goes under the name Willie Ross. But if that's the case, that Steve was a cop, and I think he was, or why would I have heard it? Everyone should be like him.
Yeah.
You know. Understanding, soft-spoken, willing to listen. You know, that would be a perfect cop. Now, he probably left because he just,
I think that if we're going to say it really quick, I just don't think you should be a cop for your life. I think you can only do it there should be even like EMTs, people that have to see stuff on a daily basis that people shouldn't be seeing on a daily basis. You should get to do it for 5 years and then they help you transition to something else because it will corrupt you. Same with prison guards, cops, anybody that has to be in front of all that garbage all day.
No, it's got to take its toll.
Yeah,
it's got to. But no, Steve bought that place not to get rich, just to as a labor of love to help out people, to help people.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. To help people.
You need to have a Steve celebration.
And he gives people, absolutely. He gives people their first shot.
Yeah,
being on stage, gives people, a place to be employed. He's a good guy.
Yes, he put Seth Rogen up for one of the first times, I think I've heard.
Yeah,
maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's
but
crazy.
They just had their 10-year anniversary or whatever, and Seth Rogen's parents were there, weren't they?
Is that right? Yeah.
Someone said that they were at the front.
And, of course, Louis C.K. dropped in and did
Yeah, he did.
There.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wasn't there, but a lot of people were and said it was great.
Yeah.
And, of course, there you go, the most famous comic in the world right now is in town. And where does he go? Steve's place.
Yeah.
That's a kind of a reputation.
He's got an amazing reputation. Yeah.
Being, such a great guy.
Yeah. So. Do you have an Instagram account where people can see your art?
No.
Why not?
It's funny. I have an Instagram account, but I follow one person, Serena Williams, and that's it.
Why Serena Williams?
I love Serena Williams.
You love her?
Oh, my God.
You have a crush
Serena.
On her
I
or
do.
Just everything about
Big
her?
Time. And I was heartbroken because...
Didn't she just marry the guy from Reddit?
She's pregnant right now, and it's not the lady's choices.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
It's not. Rumor might have it, but it's not.
What's about Serena Williams that you just are so impressed with?
I just love her. Well, first of all, I've always loved black women.
Yeah.
And
because they're sexy as
they're
hell.
Yeah. And her athleticism. I just,
Yeah. Everything about her.
Everything about her. Yeah,
oh, that's awesome.
She's beautiful. But no, I don't. And I'm not, a very good promoter, even self-promoting. To get my stuff out there.
I think you should put your art out there at least.
I should,
because it's amazing.
Yeah. But, oh, doggy, he was just lying there.
I know.
It was almost like he'd get into my stash. He was just lying there so relaxed.
She hears something, and then she's just
But you can't get away with anything around here. That dog is keen.
That's crazy.
Well, what's going on.
I promise this for listeners that I'm going to go. We're going to make a painting together this summer. I'm going to come over.
It's a done deal. No, guaranteed. And
we'll make a painting, and I'll post it. And then you'll start an Instagram account to your art, please.
I will, and I should... started, because I love other people's pictures. I love, holy shit, Jesus, yeah. Look how big your kid's getting or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, what a nice place that is. Look at the turquoise water. So, you know, I should.
I mean, I realize that I'm asking you to get on social media, which is actually a horrible place sometimes.
Oh,
but.
Jesus Christ. Well, it's funny, you know, like some people just say, hey, you know, so-and-so went to the beach today.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all fine and dandy. But what about people that get on there? That bastard will never get custody. He can't pass a drug test.
Personal.
My lawyer's on his ass. It's like, what the fuck? And you realize people can read this? It's
yeah.
like, what is wrong
with I've had a few
statuses
that I post. I'm like, why did I post that? It's,
oh, well, what the hell? You know, we've all left a drunken message before.
Oh, yeah.
Thought, oh, shit, why did I fucking send her a dick pic? That was the stupidest thing I could have done.
Why did I post my dick pic on my Facebook?
Damn you, alcohol. Fuck.
It is funny because there are people that don't know how to use things. And, like, I've seen things where people are, like, using the status bar as a search engine.
No, it's true. I've seen people send nudes on the everyone's feed, you know.
That's crazy.
And it happens, but I'm glad, you know, they say back in my day, bullying was just, you know, get the shit beat out of you. There was no come home and then get, you know, lit up on the computer.
Yeah,
you know?
That's even,
yeah,
it's
so,
even worse
so
that way.
I don't, but I do like to message people and stuff like that. But for the most part, I keep it, you know, pretty.
Yeah.
I like my privacy. I keep it
You're
pretty.
Amazing.
And people come out of the woodwork, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It is true.
And can call you, you know, there's no saying what they'll say on
there's
there.
There's no escaping your past on Facebook.
Oh, no. Jesus Christ.
If there's someone that's crazy enough.
About running for office. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. You can run for anyone. If Trump can win, anyone can run for office.
Oh,
now.
I couldn't believe that. Wasn't that something?
Anybody can. I've even considered. Now I'm like, I always thought I'd be
you know
a good politician.
What?
Maybe I will now.
Fuck you. Kathleen McGee for prime minister. You heard it.
I think
2026.
I think I was really high last night. And I think I told Adam that I was running for prime minister. I was like,
well,
get ready. I'm
going
to run for prime minister.
I think you'd make a hell of a prime minister.
I think the leadership is going to evolve crazily in the next 20 years. So we'll see what happens.
Well, people are shitting on Trudeau already. And,
yeah.
You know, I...
But no one is perfect. I just like, but
well, no,
honestly,
he's doing his
he's
best.
Better
and he's eloquent. He's a good speaker. I mean,
he's a good representation for Canada.
He really is.
Like, people look at Canada and they don't look at us like
he gave
losers
us our
anymore.
Identity back. People are sewing the Canadian flag on their backpacks again.
Yeah.
And traveling.
Because Harper just made us
he
look
he pounded
like nerds.
The shit out of us. He was going to privatize prisons and he was going to be like the States,
yeah,
you
gross.
Know? Get your guns. And no.
Clearly. Look at it right now. Look what all that has done to them.
Oh, fucking hell. I couldn't. Jesus. I mean, if I was in the States, I'd be doing life without parole under the three strikes law.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I know a lot of people that they don't say they're ashamed to be American, but they're ashamed of what America has become.
Well, yeah.
And, like, but then the people that are like, no, it's great, those are the people you got to watch out for.
Oh, Jesus.
Because they're the nut jobs.
Yeah, no. From my cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
You know?
Fuck.
Uh-oh.
Fuck off.
Okay.
Thank you for coming on my podcast. It was really fun.
This was great. I love being here last night, and I love being here today.
Yay!
Quite lovely.
Even if I haven't cleaned a single thing.
Well, no. I mean, Jesus. Yeah, wasn't that a party? You know, it was great, and the bottles are lined up, and people indulged.
Oh yeah, it was a good time.
And there was some edibles. And,
everybody brought me edibles.
Oh,
I
those
was like,
are great.
If anyone has edibles, I post them, bring them, and then everyone brought them, and I'm like, I love you all.
Oh yeah, those are so great, and you know, seniors are catching on to edibles.
Yes.
Like, you know, they'll put you on uppers, downers, and all arounders, right? Oh, take this for this. Oh, you that had that side effect. Well, then take some of this.
Yeah.
And they're like, holy fuck, they don't know if they're coming or going. These edibles, man, I tell you, nice and relaxed.
Yeah.
Ease your joints. Your arthritis isn't as bad.
I think I'm going to start microdosing for depression.
Oh.
Microdosing mushrooms.
It's great. Oh, yeah. Well, mushrooms, Jesus, you know, but, you know, make sure you take a little.
Yeah,
you know?
No, but do you know what microdosing is? You just take the smallest amount every single day.
Oh, right.
And it's supposed to be really great for depression. Because I went off my antidepressants because, A, they're too expensive, and, B, I have my dog and he makes me happier, and I'm happier now. Like, I still have moments, but I don't want to be on pharmaceuticals if I don't have to be.
Exactly.
So
no,
now,
because I know, well, some people that went on antidepressants said that's when the trouble started.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, geez.
So many things happen.
Really up and down. And
I mean, they work really great for some people, but if you don't need them, why would you?
I've heard the reverse too, where I said, man, as soon as I went on the whatever it was, I skipped right out of that office.
Yeah.
And I was floating. I felt great.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. But, you know, whatever you can find.
It's got to be up to you. And that's the thing, especially with Facebook, because I posted a status about something about, like, how if you have support around you, you won't have as many panic attacks. And a couple of my friends were like, well, I have panic attacks and I have great people around me. I'm like, yeah, you do. But this is for me.
That's right.
I'm talking about me. And one of them said, well, you have a bigger voice and you're making grand statements that are very incorrect. And I'm like, for you.
Yeah, I can only speak for myself. Yeah.
I know. I know I have a following, but I hope that people following me don't take everything I say without a grain of salt.
Well, no. I mean, exactly. And you can only speak for yourself. And that, I find, you know, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So you found other avenues that, and you send off a real happy vibe. You seem very happy.
Oh, thank
you. It seems very genuine. Yeah,
you're I'm
very
not crying.
Genuinely happy because it's, you know, it's a happy life.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the dog's happy. We're happy, you know.
It's awesome.
We had a party with friends. It's, you know, life is good. But I'm glad to hear that. Well, and you know, mushrooms, God, all I do is laugh, you know. But the other thing with mushrooms, if you take too much, you can really make an ass of yourself. You know, people are talking. You're like, oh, well, what about that helicopter? You're like, what? Sorry.
There's an episode.
I'm so stunned. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
There's an episode of Under Arrest. I don't remember what it's called. But do you have Netflix?
Yes.
Go and watch. It's so funny. But the one, I don't know where it is, but it's like these two guys that are overdosing in quotes on mushrooms.
Oh, God.
It's the funniest fucking episode ever.
And I mean, I like to control the drug, but with mushrooms, I find the drugs control you.
Sometimes I think that you have to let go. That's the only way some people will let go.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to.
Yeah.
People that are like, it's too unpredictable. I'm like, you need to do them then for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you need to get out of this. Everything has to be this way. No, you have to let your fucking mind think for itself for
a little
bit.
Yeah. That's it. And just fucking go with the flow. You know?
And Laika agrees.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this has been so much fun.
Oh, it's been great. Yeah, we've just sat here and just shooting the shit.
We did
shooting
it.
Shooting the breeze. God love you.
They love you too. Well, I got to the end of the road, burning bridges wherever I go. But I promise you this, I am getting my kicks. So fuck you, this is my bucket list. Well, I got sick of living life. So fuck you.